Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the Mets have had a terrific season so far. Of course, they get swept for the first time this past weekend against the Rays in what was just an ugly display of baseball out at Citi Field. Rays took it to them. Mets will be licking their wounds and taking on a lot as far as the injury front goes with that rotation. Senga being out, the Mets trying to piece it together. We'll have Blackburn going in his spot on Wednesday. And I say, of course, that happens now because who awaits tonight? The Atlanta Braves. Now, last year, the Mets still, to me, even with the clinching of the postseason and the big Lindor home run in Atlanta, they still did not get rid of all those ghosts, so to speak. They had not taken on the Braves head-to-head and buried the Braves yet. That is what needs to happen starting tonight. I don't want to hear the excuses about no Senga, who's banged up, who's in a slump. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Soto's here. Lindor's here. Alonso's here. Figure it out and go put your foot on the throat of the Braves once and for all. And bury them. They let them live last year. The Mets did their part, winning their game to clinch the postseason spot. Also let the Braves get in as well. That's not blood. That was a draw. And obviously they didn't meet in the postseason. Mets went on their run. Braves went home as per usual with them in the postseason. But this is still a thing. The Mets and Braves is still a thing. And even more so, the stretch of the next 10 games for the Mets. Atlanta, Philadelphia. You want to be taken seriously, you got to go win that division. And coming into the year, many people, including myself, wasn't sure how to look at the division. All right, I love the lineup, obviously, with the addition of Soto, but I hated the rotation going in, especially with Manaea and Montas being out. Not that I have high expectations for Montas, I don't, but if anybody can make something of him, maybe David Stearns can. We'll find out. I hated the signing at the time, but still, two-fifths of their starting rotation going into the year, one being their best pitcher in Sean Manaea, hasn't pitched. But they've done more than... I mean, they've been the best pitching team in baseball when you look at some of the stats. Now, we know they don't have the horses, and we know they've come back down to earth a little bit. Griffin Canning, Tylor McGill. It'll be the first to go when Manaea and Montas come back. Those will be the two guys, but I don't want to hear the excuses. Mets have found a way to pitch very well, being smart about how they use their starters, when to deploy the bullpen, different arms back and forth between the minors and the majors, having guys with options. The Mets have been a well-run, smart organization, executing out there, exceeding the expectations. Coming into the year, it was thought to be, well, the Phillies are going to be great, Braves are back healthy, and then the Mets, let's see where they fit in, coming off the wild card a year ago. Things done changed. Braves started the year in the tank and haven't been able to dig out. I mean, the Atlanta Braves are 13. We're in June, what is it, 17th? June 17th, the Atlanta Braves are 13 games back. 13. That's a lot of ball games back. They are 8 games under 500. And the Phillies now have caught up to the Mets a little bit here. They've won, what, 5 in a row? Phillies have been hot. Mets losing streak, their first, 3-game losing streak of the year, their first sweep of the year, have not lost 4 games in a row all year long. And the Phillies won 5 straight, so the division lead over the Phillies is only 2. We'll worry about the Phillies in a few days. Right now, it's about making sure the Mets bury the Braves once and for all. And they can do that, whether it's winning 2 out of 3 or certainly whether it's sweeping them. And then following that up again when they see them after the Phillies series. That's the mission here. You can't win the division in mid-June. You can bury a team who's 8 games under and 13 games out. And Atlanta knows it, which is why they lined up all their starting pitching to go at the Mets here and make a little bit of a run. They need to sweep the Mets, minimum take 2 out of 3, and then do damage in the 4-game series against the Mets when they play them again at the end of the week. This is a huge stretch for the Mets as far as the National League East goes. It seems like it's not the perfect time. I get it. I feel it too. I don't want to hear it. They're the better team. And I don't want to hear the excuse the Braves are getting healthy either. The Mets are the better team. Go out there and show it. They shouldn't be intimidated of Atlanta, of that ballpark, of anything. Last year was a nice little starting point after the Lindor home run. Because prior to that home run, it was looking like the Mets were going to blow another one in epic fashion. And it was holding out hope that the Braves wouldn't care about game two. But the Lindor home run was the first, I don't even want to say jab, because it was the first uppercut. The Braves are still alive. They need to keep the Braves on the mat for the 10 count. Knock them out. Send them the knockout blow now. You bury the Braves, and then it's a clear two-team race. Then you can focus on the Phillies. Bury the Braves. Because I'll tell you what, if this series doesn't go, because I know people are starting to get nervous about the Mets, and I have my question marks. I didn't love the pitching coming in. I'm not going nuts about it yet because Senga's going to be back at some point, probably after the All-Star break. Manaea's coming back, and those are their two best arms. And they've shown that they can work with whoever they do decide to bring in. Maybe there's somebody out there off the scrap heap we're not thinking of they could bring in and be serviceable. You know, even Blackburn as a starter wasn't bad again. I mean, they did shut down the Dodgers. Even Griffin Canning, I don't think it's over for him just yet. Tyler McGill, I don't trust. But outside of him, everybody else I think they should be able to get quality starts. You know, Clay Holmes, you worry about the innings going up, but he should be fine, even if it's just five innings. Brooks Raley at some point, hopefully in the next month, will be coming back here. That'll help out the bullpen. And again, the bullpen's okay. Shuffling guys back and forth. They'll get another bullpen arm, I would expect. They're going to improve the ball club by the trade deadline. But right now, it's important that they put the hammer to the Braves. If they lose this series or let the Braves back up, then everything starts to come into question. Their pitching, their lineup, their mentality, their focus, all those different things. Right now, the Mets have played like the best team in baseball for the majority of the year. Outside of this one series sweep. The Tigers right now, I think, have the current best record. Tigers at 46-27. Mets have 45 wins and 27 losses. So they're right there amongst the best records in all of Major League Baseball. So you can't go nuts after a sweep, even though it wasn't pretty. But I can go nuts, and I will, if they don't put the hammer to the Braves, a team that they're better than. Don't care if the Braves got healthy. Don't care about their pitching getting lined up. The Mets are better. Go beat them up. Soto, Lindor, Alonso, go beat them up. It's time. Last year was a little appetizer. First time they're seeing him since then. Go send the message that the Mets are the team to beat in the National League East. That's the mission over the next 10 days. Can't win the division, but you can send the message that you're the team to beat in that division. Starting with burying the Atlanta Braves. BT, it's Al on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Back to the Yankee calls. Tony is in Middletown. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning. I'm really happy that you took my call.
This call is being recorded.
I listened to you, and I said, he's saying everything that I would say if we were in conversation. The one question I have is, if you were going to spend $760 million on Soto, why didn't you reinvest it in a third base and an outfielder?
It's a great question, Tony, and you may recall BT and I had that conversation many times, which is why I don't understand why we're accepting less from the Yankees. I said the perfect fit was to go get Bregman. You needed a third baseman. You saved the money on Soto, to your point. You're going to go into the year without a third baseman? And then the argument was, well, they could always upgrade that at the trade deadline. And maybe they could. But they need a third baseman. They needed a third baseman. They still need a third baseman. Now they got to go get one. And that's just a part of what they need. They also need the younger guys to start doing better. You know, remember, if they got Bregman, let's say, who was the third baseman available that the Red Sox ended up getting, then maybe you would ask less of some of the younger guys.
Well, but the other thing is that we trade away two catchers that are better than what we have. Torrens has done a great job for the Mets.
Yeah, it was a steal.
And now we got a guy who's a .224 hitter.
Yeah. Hey, look, the Yankees have made some mistakes here, Tony, with the roster. Now, it's hard to nitpick that, and thank you for the call. It's hard to nitpick every single move. Like, can we really get on Cashman for Torrens? I think what happened there is Carlos Mendoza identified a player that he loved in the Yankee organization when he was there and said, go get him. And look what he's done. He's been a terrific backup, if not better than Alvarez. Narvaez stings. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees have had an issue here with either identifying or developing some of the talent in their minor league system. And that's a problem. These things add up. Now, it's a relative problem because the easy comeback is, yeah, okay, Sal, well, are they still winning the division? Yeah, they are. They still have one of the best records in baseball? Yeah, they do. But they can and should be better. Do you think the Yankees are great? We had a caller before the end of the first hour, 10 o'clock, calling up talking about he doesn't want to accept the mediocrity. I wouldn't call them mediocre, but do you think the Yankees are great? Have they shown to be a great team? What about the Yankees in your mind is great? I could identify great individuals in Aaron Judge and Max Fried. Where else are the Yankees great? Last year it was they were great with Soto and Judge and Gerrit Cole when he came back. In the rotation, you could say, you know, Heel was great for a large portion of the season. They have great individuals with Fried and Judge. I wouldn't say they're great in their starting rotation. Clark Schmidt was great last night, but I wouldn't say that they're great. I think they're good. Bullpen not great, good. The lineup, the numbers may say that they're great. They're not. It's not a great lineup. Good lineup, not great. And the Yankees should be great. It should be the Yankees and Dodgers battling for supremacy in Major League Baseball. The Yankees used to own the sport. Win or lose every year, like that would vary. And you know, obviously in the 90s, for the most part, they did win. But the Yankees dominated the sport, dominated with all the star players, the biggest spending, all that stuff. Now other people have not only closed the gap, but taken over, whether it's the Dodgers, whether it's the Mets spending more. The only thing that the Yankees have been great at, certainly for the last decade and a half, has been the sustained success that's been there for three decades. But they haven't won a World Series since 2009. As we know, I don't want to even keep saying it because it's so repetitive and just, I don't need to say it. We all know. But they're not, and they're not even held, forget about them not being great. They're not even held to that great standard anymore by the fans. Some of the fans. Which to me just doesn't add up. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
Sal, I agree with everything that you're saying. However, it's really unfair to compare this lineup with last year's lineup when you had Soto and Judge in last year's lineup. That was an historic lineup. When are you ever in your lifetime going to see these two Hall of Fame, hopefully Hall of Fame hitters backing each other up in a lineup? It's never going to happen again.
I know, but that's a given. You're right, Ray, but that's part of the problem is that was so special. And we knew it at the time watching those two guys. It's part of my problem with people saying that Plan B is better. It's not the Yankees' fault that they lost Soto. They did everything they could to try to bring him back. He made his decision, end of story. So there's nothing they could do, but it doesn't mean that they're better without him.
You're right, but Sal, it really does. And again, with all the respect and deference to you, because you're a great, great radio guy.
Appreciate it.
It baits the Yankee fan. It's like once again you got to remind the, and I happen to be a Yankee fan, but once again you got to remind the Yankees that they lost Soto. We get it.
Well, no, it's not. Ray, but it's not about that. I'm not trying to make it about Soto. Let me just ask you: do you think the Yankees lineup is better than it was a year ago?
Absolutely not.
Okay, agree. So we agree there, right? I'm not trying to make it about.
Right.
Well, that's my point. But a lot of people are saying, BT included, and he's not here today. Otherwise, we'd have this conversation with him. But that the Plan B is better. And I call BS on that.
No way. Plan B is only better with respect to the fielding, but you still need the hits.
Right.
I will say this. I don't want to be a Yankee apologist, but you got to kind of, you know, tip your hat to this Yankee pitching. I mean,
yeah, they've been great.
It's a patchwork right now.
Clark Schmidt was great last night. I mean, obviously, Max Fried's been great. I don't think the rotation overall, like, to me, Rodon has not been great. They've been good enough, yeah.
No. His ERA is low, but they don't have Steel, they don't have Cole, and they're keeping the Yankees in these games. I mean, you kept the Angels to one point yesterday. Come on!
Yeah.
Don't leave the players on. And Sal, I think everybody agrees. You got to get on the Yankees. The Yankees got to be great. They're not great. Are they in a slump? Are they going to get better? Yeah, sure. But they better hear it when they're not hitting and leaving guys on.
That's the point. That's what we do as fans. And thank you for the call. That's the point. Nobody's saying the Yankees stink. Although last night's situational hitting was god awful. I mean, this is what we do throughout the course of a season. And they should be great.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not their fault about Soto. They tried. The problem is when a guy like that makes the decision to go elsewhere and now your lineup, you know, trying to replace him in that lineup, it's going to be difficult. The way to do it would be to have Dominguez and Volpe be great themselves, which was the expectation. It doesn't mean they'll never be great, but they have not been great. At all. Not even close to it. Good at times, flashes at times, great, absolutely not. Bellinger, great, absolutely not. He needed to do damage, Bellinger, in a big spot last night. Multiple times pitching around Aaron Judge to get to him. That's where you got to make him pay. Didn't do it. Doesn't mean that's going to be that way all the time. And maybe this Yankee lineup, hey, look, maybe it's just a rough stretch, a little rough patch here. And then they take off and start clicking. When they do, I'll acknowledge and say, now we're cooking. Now you're seeing what was expected of this team and where they should be at. And now they could go out there and win a World Series. But based on what I've seen dating back years, specifically this season, I do not think that the Yankees are great. And I think their lineup last year was better. Sal is in Brooklyn. What's up, Sal?
Sally, boy, good morning. And listen, man, you're right on point with a lot of these things. First of all, Boone sounds a lot like Rex Ryan, always making excuses. Stop making excuses. Maybe that first pitch would have been the best pitch. You got to hold these guys accountable when Dominguez is sleeping between the bases, when Wright's asleep in between the bases, when their fundamental is not there, when you have a guy that they should have ate his contract 2 years ago was playing out of position at second base. You could tell me he's a second baseman all you want. He's got no business being on his team. And then when you got a second baseman playing third, all you're doing is making this team worse than it really is. And then for Dominguez, if they gave him the leash they gave Volpe, maybe he could play. We know what Grisham can do. Leave the kid out there every day. He'll give you maybe a 240 bat, but at least you're going to see what the kid can do for you. And for the love of God, put Volpe in the number 8 or 9 hole. Stop moving him around. He's not an RBI guy.
I know, but think about what we're saying, Sal. Volpe was a guy who I was looking at was supposed to be the leadoff hitter for this team. I mean,
now, go ahead. You could think it.
Yeah, I know.
But guys are telling you he's not.
But that's part of the problem, Sal. That's why
I get it. I'm with you. I'm with you. It is a problem.
I know.
That's why I say, last year when I complained about him, both you and BT crushed me for saying that 30 games over 500, relax. They don't play good fundamental baseball. They still don't. And nobody's held accountable for that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Thank you, Sal. And that's what we're here to do. Hold them accountable for it. Doesn't mean it's the end of the road here, end of the world. Yeah, Yankees are going to be a playoff team. We're going to see. You know, last year I thought they were fortunate in the postseason that the AL Central, and this is not to go on a rant about the AL Central, but it's worthless. The Royals stink. The Guardians stink. Witt, Ramirez stink. I don't want to see them. They're horrible. Horrible. The Twins, forget about it. Now, the Tigers could be a little bit different. Tigers could be dangerous. That's a team that I would take seriously here.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other teams, they're losers. Perennial losers, especially when it comes to facing the Yankees. So I think the Yankees did catch a little bit of a break with the matchups that they had in the postseason. And then they got exposed against the Dodgers. Now, look, do you have to be great to win a World Series in today's day and age? Maybe not. But with the way that the National League is shaping up, I do think you're going to have to be better than what the Yankees have shown here. And there are a lot of reasons for it. Maybe most importantly, the young guys not developing the type of players that we thought they were expected to be. That's a big issue here. If Volpe was what he was supposed to be and Dominguez was what he was supposed to be and Wells and so on, then you'd be talking about a loaded lineup. Instead, it looks, to me, worse than it was a year ago. Huge stretch of games for the Mets tonight. But even beyond that stretch, I just want to focus on the Braves for this series. I want to focus on the Braves like I'm playing on the team. But you know what I'm saying. From a fan's perspective, from the Mets' perspective, put the foot on the throat of the Braves. This is a huge stretch of 10 games here. Huge series coming up in Atlanta. The first time they'll be facing the Braves since last year's wild card, the thriller for the Mets to get into the wild card round on that final day of the season there, that Monday doubleheader that they had to play the makeup day, the big Lindor home run. So we have that to look forward to tonight, Mets and Braves. And then the Yankees looking to see if they could, score a run tonight at home against the Angels after last night's frustration and the weekend with the Red Sox. It's not just that they lost four in a row. It's not that the Red Sox swept them. It's not even that they lost last night. It's how the Yankees just simply, they do it all the time for years. They can't manufacture runs. I'm not talking about bunting, although bunting was a part of the game last night. And like I said earlier, when they did bunt with Anthony Volpe, Volpe bunted to set up the 8 and 9 hitter. What are we doing? Swing the bat. Volpe is a better chance than 8-9 of the Yankee order last night. And he's bunting to tee it up for, all right, here you go. Set it up for 8-9. That's not how it should work. Good God. You want Volpe to hit. And then when LeMahieu needed to bunt next innings, he couldn't do it. Why is LeMahieu on the team? Like, there are issues still here that we overlook. Why? I don't know. Well, Mayhew's still here, Stan's still here, and it's accepted. They lose Soto to no fault of their own, but they don't do enough. The offseason was plan B. It was a B. It wasn't an A. Maybe if they got Bregman on top of that, we'd be talking about something different right now. An actual third baseman. And maybe they'll look much different at the trade deadline. Cash has always got something up his sleeve. But right now, you're seeing some flaws in this team that is expected to be great. The best thing everybody could say about the Yankees is, well, the American League's not that good. That's not encouraging. That's not how it should be. Well, the AL East, anybody really a threat? That's not what it should be. John is calling from Woodcliff Lake. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. What's going on, buddy?
How are you, Johnny?
I'm good. So you have hit the nail on the head all morning about this. The Yankees, for years, it is absolutely maddening. They cannot move runners to save their life. It's mind-boggling to me that major league hitters can't hit the ball to the right side when they got a guy on second with less than two outs. It's for years. It drives me insane.
Dude, three innings in a row last night, 9, 10, and 11th inning, you can't get a runner from second base. Forget about getting him in. Had trouble getting him to third.
It's Volpe, Dominguez, and Wells are automatic. They're as close to automatic outs as you can come in Major League Ball. They're all minor league players that are not ready to be where in the positions that they're put in. And I have no idea how they keep getting penciled into this lineup when we are the New York Yankees.
That's you just nailed it to me, John. The young, now I like the young kids and they have potential, and thank you for the call. But the New York Yankees not only have failed to properly develop the young talent that is so hyped, it's ridiculous, but they also let this young talent learn at the big league level. And it's not working. We saw it with the baby bombers. And we're seeing it again. And with Volpe, the first year was like, all right, well, it's his rookie year. Remember, Volpe was not expected to be on the team. He won the job in spring training and never looked back. But was it worth it to develop, a 240 hitter that gets on base on occasion? Yeah, he's a great defensive shortstop, sure. But he's nowhere near the player that he was supposed to be. And then it was year one. Well, okay, his rookie season, he'll be all right. Year two, same thing. It's year three. And maybe we'll be saying about the same thing about Dominguez one day. Where for now, it's kind of getting overlooked because it's like, well, all right, he's a rookie. He's not playing every single day. He's good from the left side. Maybe it'll come around. He's starting to look comfortable in left field. We're watching a player learn and grow at the big league level, as opposed to being plucked in and producing to the expectations at the big league level right away. Oh, but look at his numbers as a lefty. That's great. Is he a lefty or is he a switch hitter? Remember, he was supposed to be a center fielder. Now he's a left fielder that's learning. And he's been okay. He was supposed to be an impact bat, high-end impact bat, to a point where the manager himself sat in this exact studio and told BT and I that he was thinking about having Dominguez be the leadoff hitter on this team. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason why he hasn't been the leadoff hitter. And that's not Boone's fault. So it's easy to be like, ah, Dominguez, he'll be fine eventually. Will he? Or we're going to be here like Volpe in 3 years and be like, well, you know, he's a 250 hitter. He's okay out in the outfield. He's got some speed. Like, are the Yankees going to develop any of these guys into what we thought they were supposed to be? Austin Wells. The talk about Austin Wells this year was all-star. Austin Wells going to be an all-star? And I like all three of these guys. I like the potential of all three of these guys. Wells last year, and again, they've had stretches of it. Dominguez when he first came up. Volpe for stretches last year, the start. Wells last year, there was a period in the middle of the season where Boone had him hitting cleanup. And he was an impact bat, a legit threat. The first one that the Yankees had to protect Judge for an extended period. And then that went away. There's no consistency there. Maybe that's part of the problem with the developing. Greg is in Clifton, or lack thereof. Greg is in Clifton. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sal, you're killing me, man. That pinch run for Stanton, that's a baseball move to make, man. If you don't pinch run for him, and then you got Chisholm, who hits a bloop single, and they gun out Stanton at home, you'd be killing Boone today. It's a lose-lose for Yankee fans, with you.
No. Here's the thing. I'm not knocking the move. What I'm saying is because Stanton has limitations, it hurt them later in the game. You understand now, that? You understand that part of it, right?
No, I get that, but would they have pinch run for Pete Alonso if he got a double in the ninth inning?
They shouldn't.
They wouldn't put Acuna.
They shouldn't.
But they would.
And that's a problem. That's a problem. You can't take that bat out of the lineup. I'm not knocking the move in itself. Like, I'm not knocking. I understand why he did it, but there are limitations. And by the way, you could knock Pete Alonso all you want. At least he could put a glove on and play the field. Like with Giancarlo Stanton, there are too many limitations for him. He can't play the field. He can't run. He's a liability. He can't stay healthy. Pete Alonso plays every day. So you want to put the two and two together, you could do that. I'm not doing that. I don't know why you felt the need to bring him into the situation. But I was just
trying to give an example because he's a slow runner. Oh, so
let me ask you something. Who would you rather have up in the bottom of the 11? Dominguez from the right side or Giancarlo Stanton against a lefty?
Of course, Stanton.
Okay,
of
and why weren't you able to have Stanton up?
Because we were able to walk it off. We put Dominguez in there, and that play that got Dominguez out of third, that was a crazy play. That would have been the game winner.
Yeah,
that would have been the game winner.
It was
the little hit.
It was a ground.
Jazz got the little.
It was a ground ball to third.
Yeah, but the way they tied, that would never happen again. How the guy catches the ball, tags my man out, and he's out at third.
And you have a runner stealing, maybe then take a pitch there instead of hitting it and rolling over third again. Look, Greg, you're making an excuse for the Yankees. I don't know what you want me to tell you. You're happy with the way the Yankees played last night or the way they've been playing?
No.
Okay, and do you think that they're great?
I do.
What area of the team that you think is great with the Yankees?
Pitching is better. Defense is better.
I didn't say better. I said great.
Pitching is great. Pitching is great. Freed is great. Who's better than Freed?
Yeah. No, he's great.
Well, not better than Freed, but you know what I'm saying. Freed is great.
How'd they do? Yeah, individually. How'd they do Sunday with Freed being great?
Freed was great. He only allowed 2 runs.
Right, and how'd they do?
Well, we can't score.
And, well, okay. But where are they great?
I didn't ask you
who's great. I said, where are they great? I told you before, Judge is great. Freed's great. Clark Schmidt was great last night. He's not great overall. The starting pitching's not great. It's good. Freed's great. It's not great. Rodon's not great. Overall, they don't have a great staff. It's good. You think the lineup's great?
I think the lineup is good. Great. Not great. That's not fair. Okay. It's not great. Well, what lineup is great? Is your lineup great? Is the Mets lineup great?
Again, Greg, you're making it about the Mets. I don't know what your obsession is. I'm not making it about the Mets. I'm talking about the Yankees. Focus here, dude. Focus. It's about the Yankees. The New York Yankees are supposed to be great. They went to the World Series last year. The goal from there is to build on that and be a legitimate World Series team. The favorites to win the World Series. To do that, usually you have to be great. Today's day and age, you want to say nobody's great? Okay, fair enough. I don't think the Yankees did enough in the offseason, and I don't think they're good enough in season with the way that these players have developed. So I don't think they're great. You may see it differently. I don't know why you're worried about the Mets. You're watching the Mets. That's up to you. If we want to talk about the Mets, we can talk about the Mets and Braves. I mentioned that before. I'm not doing the Met-Yankee thing. Talking about the Yankees here. Soto's great. You want to play that game?
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, a little bold face lie, bold face truth. Hoffy, no BT, so it's just me today. What do you have for us?
All right, Sal. So we saw Chris Kreider last week get moved to Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Bold face lie, bold face truth. Mika Zibanejad will be traded before the start of the Rangers regular season.
That is a bold face truth. Now, maybe this is just me willing that to happen. I think that if he does not get traded, to me, none of it makes sense. I get that Mika, and I saw him and his wife posting some stuff on social media. Now, I saw that he did it. I didn't read the whole thing. Like, was it?
The wife was basically saying they just bought a new house in, like, New York.
Yes, yeah, so put it up for sale. Time to go, Mika. I'm sorry, buddy. It's over. He's the main culprit. I'd rather keep Kreider and get rid of Mika. He's so inconsistent and disappointing. I've had look, and I like him. Same thing with Kreider, too. I've just had enough of this core. It's time to go. So the Ranger fan, Oh, Kreider. How are we going to survive without Kreider? They're going to hang his number to the rafters one day. I'm emotional. Hey, here's the bottom line. He was more disappointing than he was great with the Rangers. Okay, yeah, he had his moments, the hat trick against Carolina. We understood that in the postseason. He didn't really wake up until a few years ago. And ultimately, this core failed. So, Kreider, see you later. Thanks for nice knowing you. Thanks for all the memories. Move on. And same with Zibanejad. So I know he's going to be a little bit more of a pain in the ass with the no trade.
Yeah.
Hopefully moving Kreider will help expedite that. I would say bald-faced truth. Ultimately, Drury and Sullivan will find a way to get Zibanejad out.
I'm adding a 1B to this question or to this statement because you just said Kreider's number to the rafters. Mm. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Chris Kreider's number is going to be retired and go to the rafters.
Yeah, I would say it's a bald-faced truth. I think one day, year. Yeah, I think so. You look at all his number, yeah, years down the road.
He played 13 years. He better put up those numbers. He was supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, that is
true. He
didn't
do it.
I would not.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, I would say no. I think that they will. Everybody's gone soft nowadays. You don't have to win a championship. You don't have to be great. Like, Ewing didn't win a championship, but he was great. Kreider was never on Ewing's level, and he didn't win a championship. Leach was great, and he won a Stanley Cup. Richter, great, won a cup. Messier, obviously. Graves, I know that's your boy. I'd say borderline. If he did not win a cup, there's no way Adam Graves' number is getting retired.
Right.
And he's better than Kreider.
Right.
And
he was the first goal scorer to get, like, what, 50 goals, I think, for the Rangers? Yeah. Something like that.
Because he won the cups, he was more impactful. I shouldn't say better than Kreider, but you know what I mean. Okay, good.
All right, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Jalen Brunson will not finish his career with the Knicks.
Now, wait. Why do you have to throw the not in there? Just say Jalen Brunson will finish his career with the Knicks.
No, I don't think he will.
No, but when you say not, now it makes it more difficult for me to answer the double negative. So if you ask me, because then I'm like, well, okay, what do you mean?
How about this? Jalen Brunson won't finish his career with the Knicks.
No, it's the same thing. Say Jalen Brunson will finish his career with the Knicks.
I don't think he will. Jalen Brunson will finish his career with the
Knicks.
Right,
bold-faced truth, bold-faced lie. So you would answer it by saying it's a bold-faced lie, and I would say it is a bald-faced truth. I don't see any way Jalen Brunson does not finish his career with the Knicks. He's going to be one of those guys like Eli to me, minus probably the two championships, but that wants to go out a Knick. I don't think he's going to want to play anywhere else.
I don't think it's his choice. I'm going to be conspiracy theory here. Leon Rose has shifted his eyes on Karl Anthony Towns, which is why Thibodeau got fired, and which is why Rick Brunson may not return. And which is why Jalen Brunson will not finish his career with the New York Knicks.
Oh, come on. And it's certainly not anytime soon. At least you get the next few years.
He showed the loyalty is fickle.
Yeah.
I mean,
I respect. It shouldn't be that, like,
Julius Randle. Julius Randle was the guy he built a team around.
Yeah,
Julius
Brunson's
Randle.
Different. Brunson's different. Took less money. he's the individual star who brought this team back.
He totally screwed Brunson out of making his career deal.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
It's possible down the road. I'm not saying it's impossible. I don't think it's going to happen. What do you got?
All right, final one. Boldface Lie, Boldface Truth. Sauce Gardner will have himself an all-pro season this year.
That is a bald-face lie. Now, I do believe if there's any head coach who could get the most out of Sauce Gardner, it would be Aaron Glenn. Obviously, a member of the secondary cornerback himself in his playing days. Hard-nosed, tough guy. So, if I just don't believe in Sauce Gardner. I don't believe he's got the right mentality. I think he's got other interests. I don't think Sauce is aware enough or has shown that he's aware enough that he's not as good as he thinks he is. So no matter who's coaching you, I hope that I'm wrong on this. I'd love to see Glenn coach him into the actual best cornerback in the league like he thinks he is. I don't think it's possible. So I will say it's a bald-faced lie.
Yeah, and I agree with you, which is why it pisses me off they're trying to pay him right now. Like, let him prove himself to Aaron Glenn that he's not going to give up if times get tough again. This is not going to be a simple season for them.
Same for Garrett Wilson. I wouldn't pay those guys until they prove it this year.
3 years in a row with a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, no, I just wouldn't. There's no need to lock those guys up now. You know, they're maybe not going to be happy campers. I don't care. The Jets have, they're starting with basically a clean slate here. Don't lock yourself into a bad deal. All right, that's it. Bald-faced truth, bald-faced lies. A lot quicker without BT here. But we appreciate you checking in, Hoff. I was expecting maybe a couple more minutes out of that. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019, the number to call. One quick thing before we get back to the calls, because our last call made me think of this. You got to stop. Like, I don't understand why Yankee fans are so sensitive here. We're all on the same page. We're all talking about the same thing. This is not poking fun at the Yankees because they lost a few games here. It's talking about real issues as far as the team goes from a New York sports fan perspective. And you want to make it about, the Mets and the Yankees. It's not about the Mets. And trust me, if the Mets lose tonight or they lose this series to the Braves, they're going to be first in the firing line. I'm going to tee off on them. Losing to the Rays is not a big deal. If the Yankees got swept by, I don't know, the Nationals, I wouldn't care. It was the Red Sox and the way that it happened. That's a big issue. But now on top of that, they wash it down with getting shut out at home in a game where they couldn't manage to move a runner from second to third base, for goodness sake, with nobody out. Certainly couldn't score them for three straight innings. 9th, 10th, and 11th innings. So there are some issues, and it's more than just the result of that. Why does that result happen? Well, look at the guys in that Yankee lineup who were supposed to be great who aren't. You could think the Yankees are a great team. I disagree. I thought they were great last year with Soto and Judge. And their starting rotation, I thought, was better with Heel and Cole when both those guys were healthy. Now, it's just Max Fried really carrying the load. Look, Clark Schmidt was great. It was the best start that we've seen from him. Can he do that consistently? Maybe. Rodon has been great at times. I don't think he's great. But pitching's not the problem. I'm not even talking about the pitching. The issue is the lineup. It's always been the lineup with the Yankees. Always. Even when they mashed consistently in the regular season, dating back to 2017, 18, 19, the lineup is, for years, the Yankees lineup, what it does in the regular season does not translate in the postseason. That's the issue. And the biggest issue, and I wasn't going to get into this today, but it just made me think of it now. The biggest issue with that, you do the math. Who's the Yankees' best performer from 2017 to 2025? In the regular season. It's clearly one answer. It's Aaron Judge. Then if I ask you that same question, well, who's the Yankees' best performer in the postseason from 2017 to now? Your answer is different. That might be the biggest problem. But helping to take some of the burden off Judge in the postseason would be if Volpe could be a difference maker in that lineup in the playoffs, which I thought he could when he first came up. If Dominguez could be that difference maker, Wells, these are the type of hitters that I thought these guys would be difference makers, not only in the regular season, just padding the stats, but doing it when it matters most. Now, has Dominguez had enough opportunity in the postseason? No, but in the regular season in big spots, we're watching these young players, and they're not impacting the games the way that we expected them to. BT and Sal on the fan, Keith calling from Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Keith?
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing over there today?
Good, Keith. What's on your mind?
Good. You know, anybody over the age of 45 is obviously going to go back to the Torrey era and the way players were obtained, the way players were used, and the way players were utilized and whatnot. But the one thing that gets me is that when Gene Michael and Buck Showalter, when they tore the team down after 91 and they completely rebuilt it, in Torrey's book, they only asked Jeter to hit 250 and make the plays defensively because they had other guys around him that could actually serve in a support role. And it doesn't seem that they come up with these guys. When Jason Dominguez was first seen online, he was mashing batting practice fastballs 800 feet, and they said, this guy's the next Babe Ruth. This guy's the next. And what has he done when those pitches have break and they have drop and they have off-speed changes? The player development now, I feel, in my estimation, in the last 2 or 3 years, after June 1st, the Yankees are barely a 500 team. Without April and May, who knows what happens the last couple of years. But what gets me is that it seems that the new system, this whole, you know, the money ball system or whatever you want to call it, the Bill James era, however you want to look at evaluating players, it has completely taken over now where when you look at baseball clubs, their AV and their video production people, it's all YouTube videos. It's all watch this video, watch that video. Stick and Buck broke it down to where cutoff guys were, to the angles of the throw, to where you want to bunt, to where you want to put that bunt. That doesn't seem to be going on. And while Aaron Boone is the whole savage in the box and all the big bravado and all that stuff, you know, it's all about launch angle and exit velocity and slash lines. I never remember, and this is where I'll end, but I do not remember anybody from 96 to 2001, even though they lost, saying, thank God we won this because my launch angle or my exit velocity or my slash line was so big. The guys came up clutch that were clutch. Scott Brosius, people say that he wouldn't survive today. He wouldn't be able to play today. It's like he was a clutch guy when it mattered. He was a clutch guy. People stepped up, and they didn't need to have an Aaron Judge at every position. They had guys that were clutch. Have a great day. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Keith. Great call. We appreciate you checking in. You don't need superstars at every position. So it's not star chasing. And I understand that the thought, well, Soto didn't fit because the Yankees didn't have two right fielders. Yeah, that's part of the problem with the way they've constructed this team for years. But what made those Yankee dynasties, and not to go back to that, but they had well-rounded ball players. BT and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Part of the appeal, if not the whole appeal about why this Yankee lineup or team could be better than what it was a year ago, was the development of the young guys or the emergence or the presence of the young guys. And that has not been there. And that has been a constant problem for the Yankees for years. The baby bombers, quote-unquote baby bombers. Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres. Look at these guys now. Volpe, same. It's year three for Anthony Volpe. Year three. Jason Dominguez, you talk about the impact. Like, you could spin it any way you want. Well, look at his average as a left-hander. Dude. Jason Dominguez has 6 home runs on the year, 3 of which came in 1 game against the A's. How is that anywhere near good enough? This is Dominguez, the Martian. I was told he was going to be the next Mickey Mantle. He came up, when he first came up, he had what? 8 home runs in 5 games, whatever ridiculous thing it was. He's got 6 home runs. 3 in 1 game. They played 70 games this year, whatever it is. How's that good enough? It's not. It's not good enough. Could they get by without it? I guess. If Judge hits 400 or maybe 500 in the postseason, then sure. But what if he doesn't? Again. Then what? We're going to be saying the same thing?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.